The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the religious leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning out there. How are you doing this morning? It's good to see some of you. I'm going to move down here so I can get a better look if we have any children joining us today. I see a couple of you. How are you this morning? Good. Awesome. So today's Holy Hilarity Sunday, and during the children's sermon, I wanted to share some other children prayers, children about your age, and you can hear what they were praying about and see if there's anything that you might pray about as well. So the first one's by Jenny. She says, "Dear God, please put another holiday between Easter and Christmas. There's nothing good in there now." Another one by Jacob says, "Dear God, are you a ninja? Is that why I can't see you?" Do you guys ever wonder if God's a ninja? No? Okay. Well, Jacob did. Here's another one from Dean. "God, you don't have to worry about me because I always look both ways." Do you guys always look both ways when you're crossing the street? Very important to do. Next one, we don't know who this is from, but they said, "Dear God, would you make me a little brother? I want somebody I can boss around." Amen. Anybody want somebody you can boss around? No? Yes? Yeah. "Dear God, will you make..." Oh, I just read that one. Next one is, "Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now?" That would make sense, right? It's simple. How about this one by Stevie? "Dear God, please don't come back before the next Cars movie." Is there something you're looking forward to that you want to see before God comes back? "Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in the church. Is that okay?" Ew. Our next one is from Jonathan. He says, "Dear God, if you let the dinosaurs not go extinct, we would have no country to live in. You did the right thing." Makes sense. Another one from Joyce. She says, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but I prayed for a puppy." She was wanting a puppy instead of a little brother. Silly. Next one we got Don't know the author. Dear God, it must be super hard to love all the people in the world, especially my brother. I don't know how you do it. Sometimes that's true, right? But that's what grace is for. We'll get into that later. Dear God, in Bible times, did you really talk that fancy? Do you think God talked fancy in Bible times? I think God was heard in any way that we could hear him. Anyway, let's see. Dear God, is Pastor Dan a friend of yours, or do you just know him through the business? The business of church, right? Yep. Couple more. Dear God, I didn't think orange went with purple until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday night. That was really cool. That's a fun prayer right there. That's a good one. Dear God, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time just like I am. That's a truthful one right there. And then the last one is not really a prayer, but something that you guys might be thinking too. A little girl became restless as the preacher's sermon dragged on and on and on. Finally, she leaned over to her mother and whispered, "Mommy, if we give him the money now, will he let us go?" Oh my goodness. And now, we're going to have a little word on grace. Dale's going to come up and join me up here. I'm going to talk a little bit about grace and what it looks like. Grace, it means undeserved favor.
Grace is kind of like God's crazy love. It's really hard to wrap our minds around it.
Yeah, we really don't understand the concept of grace, even when we're little kids. All right, class, I'm going to be your substitute Sunday school teacher this morning.
Hi, teacher.
Well, hi. Hey, what's your name?
My name's Billy, like the goat.
Okay, well, your real teacher couldn't be here.
Yeah, she was talking to the erasers.
Did you have anything to do with that?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, class, I was looking over the curriculum. You know, the pastor called me this morning and asked if I could fill in. I didn't really feel like I had a choice, so here I am. So we're going to talk about Grace this morning.
Oh, yeah, Grace. I know her.
You know what Grace is?
Yeah. She's in my other class.
No, this is a different type of grace.
Yeah, I like her.
No, it's a different type.
She's pretty.
No. It's a different type of grace, okay? Grace is like, well, how do I explain grace? You know what? I'll teach you through a song.
Okay.
It's about a man named Zacchaeus.
Oh, Zechariah.
Zacchaeus.
Zucchini.
Zacchaeus.
Zoology.
Just stick with me, buddy, okay? Zacchaeus.
Zuzu.
All right, hang in there. Jesus showed grace to Zacchaeus.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. He was nice.
Yes, he is. Okay, here's how the song goes. It goes like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Billy, what is it? What's the matter?
You said wee.
Okay, all right. How old are you, Billy?
I'm 4.
All right, I need you to be a mature 4. More mature. That's good. Keep it right there. Okay, that's fine. Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee... Billy, wee means small.
Well, it means something else, too.
All right. Mature. All right, 95 years old. Good. That's awesome. Okay. So, Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was he...
You said wee-wee.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. Okay, but let's get back to the mature four, more mature, almost dead. There we go. Okay, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree.
Oh, what did you say?
He climbed up in a sycamore tree.
Oh, what's wrong with the tree?
Billy, there's nothing wrong with the tree. He climbed up in a sycamore tree.
You said it was sick. You said it was sick more.
No, I didn't.
This is a horrible song. It's about dying trees, and you're teaching it to children? Mickey Mouse doesn't sing about dying trees. We're just children. You hate the forest.
Billy, listen to me. Let's get that back to the mature in the grave. All right, sycamore is the name of a tree.
The tree was sick because it was wee-weed on, isn't it?
No. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the oak tree.
Okay, I like the oak tree. It's a healthy oak tree. It's okay.
Yes, it is. For the Lord he wanted to see.
Oh, Jesus is coming.
Yes, here he comes.
Oh, he can come now. I don't have my bow tie on.
Well, no. In the song, Jesus is coming. In the song. So the Savior, as the Savior is passing by.
Here comes Jesus.
Yes, he's coming. He's coming, and he's going to bring grace with him.
I didn't know she knew him.
No. Hang with me just a minute. So the Savior passes that way, and he looked up to the tree, and he says, Zacchaeus,
you quit wee-weeing on trees because you're killing them.
We really don't even get the concept of grace, this crazy type of love, when we're in high school.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Sheldon.
Hey, I'm going to go into the Bible study now.
Yeah, I'll be there in just a minute.
No, listen, before you go in there, you're my youth pastor, so I should come to you about these things.
Oh, what's the matter?
Well, it's the Bible study. It's based on Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, right?
Right.
Well, the last question, what can separate you from the love of God, the answer's not in there.
It is. It's one word.
It's not in there.
It is. It's right there.
I read it. It's not in there.
I'm telling you, it's in there, Sheldon.
Okay, Bible man, show me.
Well, we could do that in class.
Show me.
All right. Romans 8:38. It says, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord.
See, it doesn't say.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. It's one word.
Exactly.
It says nothing.
Exactly.
That's the word.
Exactly?
No. I'm trying to tell you it's nothing.
Nothing?
Yes, it's nothing.
No, don't give me nothing. Give me something.
I'm trying to tell you that the something is nothing.
What planet are you from where something is nothing?
And here it is. Something is nothing.
Well, that's great. So you want me to go in there and say nothing?
Yes.
So you call on me and you say, hey, Sheldon, what do you think? And I'll go, nothing.
Yes.
Oh, that's rich. That's great. You'll say, Sheldon, what do you think the answer is? And I'll just go,
well, if you do that, you'd be a constipated C-3PO. What I want is, I want you to go in there and I want you to say something.
Yes, but what is the something? What is the thing you want me to say?
Nothing.
I don't care if you are a man of the cloth. I want to hit you.
Hey, I'm trying to help you out here. I'm your youth pastor. I'm just trying to help.
You want me to go in there and do nothing.
Now, what I want you to do is go in there and say something. And if that something that you say or do is nothing, then yes, when you say nothing, Sheldon, that something is really nothing.
You're a freak. Nothing?
Nothing.
You said nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, but not for me, because you don't understand. I'm not...
Nothing.
No, listen. Just last night...
Nothing.
No, I...
Really, no matter what you want to put out there as an excuse for God not to love you, there's nothing that can separate you from God's love. Nothing.
So if you're having trouble wrapping your mind around God's grace or grasping it yourself, don't beat yourself up. Because the truth is, even the disciples didn't get it.
Jesus, I cannot believe it's you. I mean, here you are, alive. You are crucified and in the tomb. And then you're here. You're right here. I knew it. I knew it when I was putting the nets into the boat, and I heard this voice going, put it on the other side. But I'm like, I'm the fisherman. Why is somebody telling me what to do? But I did it, and then all these fish flowed into the net, and I pulled it up, and I'm like, who could have done that? And then I saw you. I looked over there, and you were on the shore saying, it is I, the Lord. And then here you are right here. I can't believe it's you. I mean, it's amazing. So what are you doing here?
Peter, do you love me?
Oh, Jesus, yes, I love you with everything that I am. I mean, I can't believe you're alive. I mean, you're right here on the shore looking at me with those eyes. Oh, I love you with everything that I am.
Peter, do you love me?
Yes, Jesus, I love you. I'm so sorry for running away. I'm so sorry for that whole rooster debacle thing. I didn't know. I mean, you said the rooster would cluck, and it did.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me? Do you?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. With everything that I am, I love you. With everything that I have, I love you.
Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock.
Peter, that day that the Marys came running up, do you remember what happened?
Yes, they came running up, and it sounded like she was saying, beehive, beehive, and I'm allergic to bees, so like I was like, keep that thing away from me, you know what I'm saying? But the closer that she got, I heard her say, he's alive, he's alive. And she went to the tomb, and the angel of the Lord was there. And if John says he beat me to the tomb, he's lying. I mean, he's got great words. He should write a book, that guy. I beat him. Anyway, we got there, and there was the angel of the Lord, and he said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen.
What did he say?
He said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. And here you are. You are risen.
I know. What did he say?
He said, go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. You said my name. After I denied you three times, after I ran away, you said my name. Why did you say my name? I totally left you. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's my grace. It's not about you. It's not about anything you've done. You can't do anything too bad. It's about what I just did. I say your name because I love you, Peter. It's forgiven and it's forgotten. That's grace.
And that's grace. So, as we think about that mind-boggling word called grace, it's difficult to understand. I believe because it's difficult for us to extend to others that grace. Now, I mean, not all others, but those who we feel are not on our side, or those who have wronged us, those who we don't see eye to eye with. Therefore, we struggle to see how God can extend that grace to those others. Sometimes it's easier to see grace when it's offered rather than try to explain it. Each of our readings today show grace that is easier to see than to explain. In our first reading from Acts, we hear, with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. Imagine that. For as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the feet of the apostles, and it was distributed to each of them as they had need. The unity and community of these early believers allowed them to give grace to one another. Everyone in their whole number, they shared everything. By grace, everything was held in common. In Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It's like fine oil upon the head, flowing down upon the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon the collar of his robe. Living in unity is living together in God's grace, and that grace flows down like fine oil. Now, this might be a weird analogy because I'm not sure how I would handle oil all over my head. And I'm not sure how soothing that experience would be today, but think about how good it feels to put lotion on dry, cracked hands or ointment on a cut. Imagine being in the first century, out in the sun and the wind. You know, there's barely enough water to drink, let alone to bathe in. And finally, when there is, and when fine oil is upon your head flowing down, soothing the wind and sunburnt cracks in your skin, healing them, This is what it means to live together in unity as grace is offered to everyone. Grace flows into those wind and sunburnt cracks of our prejudice and bias, healing us to become one. From our reading in 1 John, one of my seminary professors was famous for saying, this is where the Bible quotes our Lutheran hymnal. If you say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But right before this little passage, we hear, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, we see grace through living in unity, because Jesus first offers it to us. As we walk in the light of Christ and offer the forgiveness of God to others, grace abounds, not only for us, but the whole world. In the first verse of chapter 2 of 1 John, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Then in our gospel lesson today, the disciples are in their upper room, the doors locked for fear of the religious leaders. And then Jesus shows up. Now, tell me, that might have given them some anxiety, right? Here is their leader who they just betrayed and ran away from, denied. You think that there might not have been an anxious moment when Jesus shows up? But what does Jesus do? He says, peace be with you. What more grace-filled words would they need? He says it again, peace be with you. And then there's Thomas, who was not there the first time Jesus appears to the disciples. And Thomas tells the disciples exactly what most of us would have been thinking when hearing the story about Jesus' arrival. Unless I see it from my own eyes, unless I see the marks in his hands, unless I put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his actual side, I will not believe. And what does Jesus do? Jesus comes to him in a grace-filled way, in a very understanding way, and gives Thomas exactly what he asked for. Jesus tells him, peace be with you, Thomas. Put your fingers here. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. It is easier to identify grace when it is offered than to explain what grace is. And Jesus comes to us also in grace-filled ways, through our friends, through our family, through our church, through our work. Jesus comes in a very understanding way. Jesus gives us exactly what we need, that grace, undeserved favor, so that we can be and we can act forever changed. Amen.